I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Sometimes the familiar becomes just that, familiar. And I like to revisit these passages from time to time. Psalm 23 is a psalm of David. It is a psalm that we often will frequent in times of sorrow. This is one of the most asked for scriptures when I do a funeral or a memorial service. This is a scripture that is recognized as such by many in our culture, even if they are unchurched. Somehow they have come to understand that Psalm 23 is a word that ministers comfort. I think that's fascinating. And for us as the church, for us who have, perhaps we have been a child of God for many, many years, or perhaps this is new to us, perhaps you're here today and maybe you've never heard of Psalm 23. Hey, that's okay. I'm excited to be able to share it with you today. And one of the things, one of the perspectives that I think is helpful is for us to get to know God the way the psalmist presents him in this passage. And that is found in this very first line. It goes like this. Say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The very role of a shepherd is that of leadership, is that of nourishment, is that of care. It is the shepherd is responsible to make sure that the sheep are healthy, to make sure that they are well protected. We have the common understanding that sheep are not the smartest animals in the world, and it is interesting that just the way that the Bible helps put us where we belong, right? And helps us to realize we are truly valuable in God's sight. But listen, we need to view Him as our shepherd, as a sheep views their earthly leader. The Lord is my shepherd. This concept of shepherding is not new here with David. We can go back and we can think about how Jacob, he was a shepherd, and they had many flocks. Flocks were an important part of society in those days in ancient Israel, in the Middle East, as it is in many regions there today. I love how we have a sheep farm just down the road. We drive by it all the time when we go down. When many of you come to church, you see the sheep farm, right? And I don't know about you, but for me, it is a wonderful reminder of this passage and of the beautiful truth that the Lord is my shepherd. You think about shepherds, you think of David, and when Samuel was looking for the king, the next king to follow after Saul, he went to David's home, and David wasn't there, was he? But David was out in the fields taking care of the sheep. Now, God had a plan in all of that, and it's not accidental, it's not coincidental that David is a shepherd. And that's where he was, and he's called in from shepherding to be anointed the next king of Israel, and he is commonly considered and regarded as the greatest king of Israel until Jesus Christ comes and assumes the throne himself. The prophets, when they speak of the care of God's people, they will often speak of shepherds as being the ones who are the caretakers of God's flock. There are rebukes for those shepherds who do not care well for God's people. There are also promises that God will take care of his people with good shepherds and with the great shepherd, the King to come, Jesus Christ. I think of the announcement that took place on that dark hillside in Bethlehem. And it took place, angels lit up the sky, and they spoke, and they sang to who? Shepherds. Shepherds watching over the flocks. Why flocks in Bethlehem? That was the place that they raised the temple sacrifices. They raised the lambs there so that the people could sacrifice in Jerusalem. And God made the incredible message of, I am sending the Savior of the world into this place. He said that to shepherds, and shepherds were the first ones to behold baby Jesus. God incarnate, God on earth, and shepherds were there. And shepherds, the first evangelists, as they went from that place and they began to tell everybody, he's here. He's here. And then we come to John chapter 10, right? And John chapter 10 is where Jesus, in his preaching, says, I am the good shepherd. And Jesus, assuming this role, this picture, if you will, of who he is and directing his people. And it's a beautiful passage as we contemplate shepherds in the Bible. Why does the Psalm of David, Psalm 23, begin this way? The Lord is my shepherd. David, he's a shepherd. And David, he's a king. We don't know when he wrote this, but nevertheless, we can understand David knew he needed a shepherd. So as we embark on what this is, this very familiar psalm, I think it's important that our hearts are at that place where we say, I need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. Animals that are left on their own, especially animals of grazing and those kinds of things, they will break through fences. They will do whatever they want to do to get what they think is the best grass or the best water. They will travel wherever they want to travel. Because in their minds, they're doing what they think is best. And so they need someone to guide them to the best places, to the right places, to the places of protection, of goodness, of rest. Some of us are here today and we're resistant to that. We're resistant to the fact that I need a shepherd. This is what breaks my heart when I'm asked to read this at funerals where I'm ministering to folks who do not have a relationship with God, at least to my understanding and my knowledge. They have asked for this psalm to be read because it is a common psalm and a psalm of comfort, yes. And God can comfort through it, yes. But my heart breaks because they do not understand they need a shepherd. Now, what God does, though, is God can open up a heart and a life as he uses his word, right? And he can use his word to help people realize, listen, if the Lord says, if it says the Lord is my shepherd, and the one who wrote that realized they needed a shepherd, well, maybe I do too. So, do you need a shepherd? Are you hungry? And I'm not talking for macaroni and cheese. I'm looking at my kids. Did you have macaroni and cheese today, Mrs. Butler? All right. I'm not talking for food, for physical food. Are you hungry for the nourishment that comes from God? Are you secure? When you read John chapter 10, and I'm not going to necessarily cover all that today, but when you read that, there's a sense of security that you find in a shepherd who guards the door, who knows your voice, calls you by name. There's a security. If a sheep is outside of the flock or outside of the fold, that sheep is not secure. Now, that sheep might not realize it right away, but you know the shepherd does. And the shepherd comes and he finds that sheep. And perhaps God's looking for you today. Are you well cared for? You feel cared for? Loved? Now, a lot of that expression comes through the church, yes. And we ought, and we are not perfect at that. Readily admit that. We can keep on growing with that. But God shows his love towards us. And we can know true comfort and love through him, in a personal relationship with him. The psalmist David here writes, "The Lord is my shepherd," and this is very, very personal to him. You see, the Lord is just not the shepherd. It's my shepherd. He's leaning into the heart of one who is greater than him, the one who can see what's ahead, the one who can see what's behind, the one who knows when to call everybody, all of us together, and into the protection of the fold. The Lord is my shepherd. You know what this is? It's an expression of faith. For us to say this, for us to quote this, and to mean it with all of our hearts, and to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," this is an expression of faith. Because what we are saying is, I believe that the Lord, the Creator God, that is expressed in the pages of His Word, is the one who cares for me and my life, and who is the one I can trust to guide me and to feed me and to meet my every need. It's an expression of faith. And as this psalm is shared, it is important that that is expressed. And as you quote this, may it be the belief of your heart. This is what I believe, that the Lord is my shepherd. You see, that makes a big difference when this is your faith. This is an expression of faith. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be lacking. I shall be taken care of. I shall be fed. I shall be tended to. As you think of this expression of faith, the Lord is my shepherd, you see in here now an expectation of faith, don't you? There's an expectation that as I trust in the Lord as my shepherd, I have the expectation that I shall not want. Now, this can be misused in so many ways, because people can say, look at their life and say, I have a lot of wants and I'm lacking in a lot of things. So therefore, God, you're not a very good shepherd. Or God, you told a lie here. So is that what it's talking about? That I'm going to not have any lack or need in my life? You know, there's two ways we can look at life, our own personal lives. We can look at it from our own perspective and our own judgments. And we can say, this is the way my life ought to be. And it is or it isn't. Or we can say, this is the way that God wants my life to be. God, help me to be content. Help me to trust. Because as you are my shepherd, I know you're not going to let me go. This is expression of faith and the expectation of faith. You have a sure hope in the great shepherd, Jesus Christ, believer. And this is where John chapter 10 is so crucial, is so special. As it speaks of the one who is in the Father's hand, no one shall pluck us out of his hand. Jesus expressing that to the crowd that day in John chapter 10. So we have this faith that begins in Psalm 23, and I believe David was a man who trusted in the Lord. He wasn't perfect, and we know that. But he had a foundation that the Lord was his shepherd in his life, and he believed and had a hope that God was going to care for him. We look at verse 2, we read, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, as you read over this, you see that the psalmist, as David, is talking about the great shepherd, about the Lord. And he's giving us some things to know about him. He's experienced his guidance as a sheep. That the Lord guides his sheep. Notice it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. It's almost as if David knows the Lord knows things better than he does. This is really important that you know the Lord knows things better than you do. I know as a pastor, one of the things that I've wrestled with is how the church changes. All right? It's just as far as God, he brings people in and people go. People move, jobs change, people pass into glory. There's many different reasons that the church changes. Now, from my perspective, let's just figure this out, how to do church, and then let's just do it, right? And let's just work it. That would be my way, right? We're going to, you know, figure out who fits where and who can do what, and we'll just walk like that for 20, 40 years, whatever. It's so ridiculous to think about it. But, you know, I've wrestled with this, the change. We all wrestle with change, right? Yeah, we all do. And I tell people, I you know what? What makes the difference in my mind as I wrestle with those thoughts at times is getting my vocabulary right, realizing it's not mine. It's not mine. It's not my church. It's the Lord's. And the Lord knows what's best. And he makes us to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. Those words are not only meant to speak of his guidance, but also of his tender care, right? I think we know enough agricultural things that, you know, a green pasture is better than a brown one. Right? We get that concept. You know, you see animals eating green, not necessarily the brown. Of course, hay, I know, is brown, but you want it a little green, right? Farmers, help me out a little bit, just a little. Thank you, Larry. Thank you. But green pastures, the still waters, he restores my soul. If a soul needs restored, it means a soul has struggled. Wow. Can we admit that? Can we admit that we've had times where we have struggled, where everything's just been flowing out and nothing's been coming in? And then where do we run when we're empty? Where do we go? Well, if we're going to be people of faith and have this expression of faith and an expectation of faith and an experience as guidance, and we're going to know that the Lord is the one that we can run to for restoration of our souls. Oh, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As you walk through this passage, you realize that he's not talking strictly just about a physical sheep here. This is very spiritual language that he's using. He's taking the agricultural field analogy, and he's placing it into our realm of spiritual relationship with God. And we see this leading me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and we realize that the shepherd has a plan, and that plan for our lives is not for us to be glorified, but for us to exhibit his glory, for us to bring him glory. Notice it says, in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So it's not all about David. It's not all about Josh. It's about the shepherd. And the shepherd is not all about making your name great. He's about taking care of you and taking care of you well so that his name is great. And you know what he's going to do is he's going to take you and he's going to show you what those paths of righteousness are going to be, because that's where you walk when you exhibit his character. And that's where people are going to watch our lives in this church and you at work. And they're going to watch you and they're going to see paths of righteousness that God's going to take you down. And he's going to say, they're going to watch and they're going to say, there's somebody different. They're going to see someone that when they ask you, you can testify, I got a shepherd. I got a shepherd who is leading me. And it's the Lord. As we experience his guidance and exhibit his glory. You see here that the sheep is receiving these actions upon himself. Now, up to this point in the psalm, the psalmist has been talking about the shepherd. But one of the things, and you've heard me share this before if you've been around for a while, but we come to verse 4, and I can't help but note that now he starts to speak as if the shepherd is right there. He's not just speaking about the shepherd. He's speaking to the shepherd. Notice in verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice he's not talking about him anymore. He's talking right to him. You know what that tells me? It tells me he's got a relationship with him. It tells me that he is right there and he feels free to communicate with the Lord. Do you feel free to communicate with the Lord, the Creator God of this universe? Lots of people can talk about God all day long. And they may have it right, they may have it wrong, but they can talk about him all day long. But can they talk directly to him as if they're in a real, true relationship with him? Christian, you can. Christian, you need to. Christian, that's your benefit as being a child of God. He's your Father, and you can talk right to him. And you know what? He's right with you. That's the beauty of the picture here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're right there with me. You're right there holding my hand or carrying me, however you want to picture that. You are with me. With me. Let that word, just let it rest on your soul. You are with me. Do you really believe that? That God is with you? You see, Jesus came on this earth and he spoke of the Spirit of God. He told his disciples, I'm going to be leaving, but I'm going to send the Spirit of God. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, either he was just crazy and he just was trying to just help them make it through another tough time, or he was right when he said that, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I believe he's right. Now, you know what? I got to believe that by faith, and so do you. I got to trust him that he, when he said it, he's right, he's true, and he's doing it. I believe David understood this, and he said, you are with me, your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, the psalmist recognizes that life can be an environment of hardship. I think all of us could agree, life is hard. And we've got very challenging things that have been dealt with by folks in this room today. And I'm sure I don't know the half of it. There have been people that have experienced deep loss. I was at a little conference not too long ago, and I sat in on a session taught by a pastor. 10 years ago, he and his wife and his daughter, they were in their church after a service, and a gunshot rang out. And a bullet came right through the wall where they were standing and killed their daughter. I can't imagine. This is the pastor of the church, his wife. They're right there. It wasn't a criminal activity. I think he was just showing his gun or something. I don't know what he was doing. But nevertheless, she died. Loss. And this is something this man said. It's taken him 8 to 10 years to speak about this. His wife still doesn't go back to church. And we could look at her, we could point our finger at her, we could say, come on. Loss messes with people. And it changes people. And this is something I grabbed a hold of. Because as a pastor, I've got to get this. Because people hurt. And some of you hurt. And I got to understand that loss does change people. And I can't expect you to get back to where you were. Loss is part of God's plan in your life. And it's going to mean that now God is making you and designing you and I need to get on board with his plan. Loss hurts. Loss is real. But to hear him say, loss changes people, and we need to realize that. And we need to be okay with that. Wow, I needed to hear that. Environment of hardship, that's where we live, yes. That doesn't mean that we can't have an abundant life, and certainly in Jesus Christ we can. But this world is not our home. This world is hard because of sin, and there's coming a day when we will be set free from the bondage of sin forever, the presence of it. In Jesus Christ today, we're saved, and yes, set free from that bondage, but we still have the presence of sin all around us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If I'm going to say I will fear no evil, I got to believe God. We got evil all around us. We do. And you know that I've shared with you at times the struggles of fear that I have in my own heart. And this is big. I will fear no evil. To be able to say, I'm going to trust God. That's what you're saying. This is another expression of faith. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Expressions of faith. I will fear no evil. Another expression of faith. Are you getting this? The Christian life is faith. Oh. Thou preparest the table before me. In the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Well, as we wrap up this psalm, I think it's important for us to understand that the psalmist understands the blessing that comes from knowing God. To understand that you, God, prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, that you understand and that you know there are enemies in my life, but that's okay because you're my shepherd, you're my king. This is a great blessing that we can have security even in the face of the enemy. Because we have a true enemy in this world, and we will until Christ comes. Now, he is doomed, and we know that. But nevertheless, we experience the onslaught of Satan and evil. You anoint my head with oil. This is a welcome, a refreshing and cleansing anointing of oil. My cup runneth over speaks of abundance. The Lord has enough and then some. The Lord has enough and then some more. So, dear church, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Bound up within this man as he wrote this psalm under the inspiration of the Spirit of God is expressions of faith and environments of hardship, a need for guidance, but an overflow of joy. When we can rest in the Lord and walk by faith, we will understand goodness and mercy. We'll see it. And we see it follow us all the days of our life. and the precious truth of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. You know, when you see that word forever, that's a long time. Even more, when you see that word forever, that's an all-inclusive type term. You know what? The Lord is the one who can say these kinds of things because He is forever, everlasting. And we can trust by faith that what He says is true. And when He said, "For the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord," we can believe Him. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Dear church, this is God's message for us today. And Lord, thank You for bringing it to us. Amen.